In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. At the end of both parables, our Lord says that there is joy in heaven over the sinner who repents. Conversion is coming to faith. Repentance is living in that faith. Repentance is a daily activity, so faith exists in repentance. Repentance literally means to turn around. It's a change of the heart, the mind, and the will. A U-turn. Away from sin and toward God in faith, or away from one's works and toward God in faith. You are new, you are different. Thanks be to God that He has brought you to faith. You are not what you once were. But faith continues to exist in repentance because even though you are changed, even though you have faith and have been brought out of darkness and into light, you still struggle against a sinful flesh. Daily repentance is needed. So the parable is still applicable to you. The lost sheep is very often the troubled conscience. The flesh grabs your conscience to fill you with regrets. You know your failings, you know your laziness, your half-hearted efforts, simply going through the motions, and you know the results that you have reaped from them. You know that you have wasted moments. Maybe with electronics, TV, internet, or just pure boredom, you have wasted moments when you could have been doing something, moments you will never get back. You have seen your relationship as simply a task to be completed rather than a time to enjoy with someone else. And you want to go back to do it right. But you never get a second chance. And now you must live with the decisions that you have made. You must live with the words that you have spoken. Add to that, you have been insolent, rude, and quarrelsome. Not all of the time. But it has happened. And your life is more sour, and your relationships more bitter because of it. They are not what they fully should be because you have not always done what God has asked you to do. Your sins bear unpleasant fruit. Mistakes made in the past still affect our body, and we still must live with those decisions. Our conscience isn't wrong when it fills us with regrets. We haven't lived up to our own standard, much less the standards God has set for us. And then as we look into the future, we wonder if we have done enough to prepare. Have we done enough to prepare ourselves for whatever may come tomorrow? Have we taught our children enough for them to be successful in this life? Maybe they did that action because we never told them it was wrong. Who can cover every circumstance? So we worry if we have done enough, if we've made the best decisions for them and have treated them properly, or if somehow they will be missing out on something because of our failures. We should live freely in Christ, confident and bold that we are the redeemed children of God, and yet so often we are filled with regret, filled with fear and worry of what will come tomorrow. So rather than making any decision, we say we're still gathering in information, paralysis by analysis, so that no decision is ever made and something just ends up happening. This is also true of those who have longed for the good old days. They too are worried. They may not express worry, but if they long for those good old days, which frankly were not all that good, they are betraying that they assume the next days to come will be filled with worse things. A troubled conscience. Because of the decisions that we have made and the trajectory of one's life. Outwardly, everything looks normal. We go about our day with a smile on our face. We go about our day trying to do our best, yet knowing it is never enough. And so inwardly, our hearts are troubled, our minds fear, and our conscience is ready to condemn us for not doing what we should. We haven't lost faith, but neither are we living in repentance in that moment. When regrets, worry, or fear of tomorrow fill our hearts, we have to recognize them as our obligation or the result of our obligations. And now we're dealing with the law. And what conscience can ever find peace or rest in the law of God? We can debate it all we want. We can argue our way out of it. This circumstance required this action, but we will never find rest in our works. Simply saying, "Don't worry about tomorrow," ignores the reality of what we have done. We made mistakes, and our sins still have to be dealt with. And if nothing more, the earthly consequences of them. We still have to plan for tomorrow and make some kind of decision for ourselves or for our kids or our loved ones. Who knows if it will be right? The straying sheep is often this troubled conscience. Listen to how Christ then describes repentance. A shepherd looking for a sheep. Leaving the 99 and going out, finding the one who had been lost. And then rejoicing as he picks him up, places him on his shoulders, and carries him home. But even that is not enough. Then he calls together his friends and neighbors for a great celebration. And as you know, every celebration has two things: good conversation with good company and good food. Faith exists in repentance because faith exists in Christ on whose shoulders you rest. On those shoulders, the law cannot condemn you. On those shoulders, your regrets cannot trouble you. On those shoulders, your conscience cannot harm you. Because on those shoulders, he turns your heart, your mind, your very will away from yourself and to himself. He doesn't say your conscience is wrong. Instead, he says that he has taken away your guilt. He doesn't say that you shouldn't regret past decisions. He says that he has covered all of your shame. He doesn't say that you shouldn't fear what tomorrow may bring. He simply says that he will be with you always. And all things will be for your good. Your burden, your worry, your pain, your trouble was laid on his shoulders and carried to Calvary. The law then has nothing to say to your conscience. Christ owns it. Christ controls it. All that you need is not found in works of the law, but it is found in Christ's work. He demands nothing of you. He doesn't even set you down and say, "Follow me," but he carries you where you need to be. Your conscience is cleansed through the waters of holy baptism. You are at peace and rest with God. And he has given you his Holy Spirit as a guarantee of the good things that are to come. He shows you his mindset, what drives him and moves him, the salvation of all men, and that all would live in repentance. So I don't know how you felt this morning when you woke up, when you got dressed, and when you prepared to come to church. I don't know how you felt when you walked in these doors today. But I know how Christ felt. Joyful. Joyful that faith has led you here in spite of all that happened this past week, in spite of whatever troubles afflict your mind, in spite of all that needs to be done, Christ rejoices that he has brought you back here to receive his word once more and to eat his supper yet again. Isaiah called Christ a man of sorrows. And this is true, for Christ sees the sin that we have brought upon ourselves and how it leads to more misery in our own lives. But dare I say, Christ calls himself a man of joy as he picks up the lost and the straying and carries them back to his holy altar. He rejoices that despite your sins, you believe him to be the savior of the sinner. That despite the fear of tomorrow, you believe that he is the Lord of today and tomorrow. He turns your attention away from yourself, your life, your works, and he turns your attention to the body of Christ given for you. He is your Lord and protector. You are in the protection of the man who gave his godliness and all that he is for you. The man who keeps you, who carries you, who protects you, and who guards your hearts and minds through faith in him. Also that you also might celebrate with him. When your conscience condemns you, believe that you rest on the shoulders of Christ. When you're filled with regrets, believe that Christ has taken away your sin and borne your guilt. When you're afraid of what may come tomorrow, believe that you still are on those shoulders. And when you're afraid of making the wrong decision and letting others down, believe that Christ will never let you down. If any trouble comes from without, know that it must first destroy him. And if any trouble comes from your own heart, know that it first must condemn Christ. He knew it all. Still, he picked you up, placed you on his shoulders, and went home rejoicing. Christ has joy that he has found you. Not one time at the moment of conversion, but he has joy today that he has found you, for faith exists in repentance. So you also rejoice daily that you simply belong to Christ. Never does he leave you, never does he forsake you, never will he set you down and say, "Follow me." He will carry you. Learn to conform your thoughts and, yes, even your feelings to Christ. It's hard, yes. But rejoice when he rejoices. Mourn when he mourns and weep when he weeps. It's hard. It's a daily battle, for your sinful nature doesn't want to imitate Jesus. It wants to validate its own thoughts and its own feelings. But learn to conform yourself to Christ. That is why faith exists in repentance. As we turn away from how we feel and what we want, and we look toward Christ and imitate him. We are not afraid then. We are not afraid of whatever may happen tomorrow, good or bad. We are not afraid of making the wrong decision. We are not afraid of what has happened yesterday. We live boldly and freely, making the best decisions we can with the information that we currently have, confident that Jesus will bless us. For faith exists in this repentance as we rest on the shoulders of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.